Welcome into You're the Cure right here on AM 580. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD with Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. Our office number, 1-855-6-VERITAS. Of course, along the way, if you have any questions for the good doctor, feel free to call us at any time throughout the broadcast. 806-745-5800. That's 806-745-5800. Also, that same number for text in if you have a question, 806-745-5800. Well, let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Wade.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Thanksgiving week.
Good to be here.
Yeah, it's. I guess we're going to get loaded up on tryptophan come Thursday, and I'll be sleeping.
Yeah, we're going to load up on lots of things probably. Tryptophan's got the... Got the rap for making us sleepy, but I'm pretty sure it's because we just ate 5 pounds of carbs.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Watch the carb load.
Giblet gravy and pecan pie.
It's going to be tough. Now, I'm doing my fast. I do my fasting for the first 3 days of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked out well because I fast on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And so then Thanksgiving's on Thursday, so I'll be able to enjoy Thanksgiving and even all the carbs and not feel that guilty.
Yeah.
Because I fasted for 72 hours prior to Dr. Edwards.
That is a very smart approach to Thanksgiving week. And really, people need to consider that. I mean, utilize the fasting techniques throughout these holiday times. Enjoy the day that you want to enjoy, but follow it with a fast or fast before, whatever. Utilize the fast. It's an amazing tool that can really benefit your metabolic levels and just benefit your health in general.
No doubt about it. I'm a firm believer in it. Works well for me, and I've lost, about 3 pounds a week and getting back to where they call fighting weight. I just want to feel good, and I'm feeling better.
Yeah.
But a lot of people can't do that. A lot of people, when they hear that, they go, oh, dude, you go just water only for 3 days? And I go, well, I have black coffee and some tea, but
right.
But yeah, no food.
Well, when you're addicted to sugar, which is a drug, I want to remind everybody, when you're addicted to sugar, addicted to carbs, yeah, that does look like a daunting thing. So I would recommend that people start to wean off the drug first and then try the fast. So wean your sugars, wean your carbs down, eat more fat.
And I have to say, doctor, one of the most amazing things that's happened to me while I've been doing this is one of the things that does happen on the 4 days that I go back to normal eating. I say normal, is that I look at a carb now, or especially a complex carbohydrate or highly refined sugar, and I don't really want to eat that.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but it's really... Over time, I look at stuff like that and go, nah, I don't want that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting.
Well, it's part of the makeup of the brain. I mean, as you get off the drug, get off the sugar, you get biochemical changes in the brain, neurotransmitter changes
in
the brain. And yeah, it is. And
Dr. Fung, we need to get him back on.
Yeah, he was a great
Dr. interview. Fung, man, that guy, and that's where I learned this, and I thought on that show we did with him, the man who wrote the book, literally, on intermittent fasting. And so it was pretty incredible.
Yeah, he's great. He's opened a lot of eyes. I give lectures. I've probably given 6 or 7 talks in the past couple of weeks, and one of my favorite slides is putting up the American Diabetes Association's website, a picture of it, talking about how type 2 diabetes is a chronic progressive disease.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after that, I put Dr. Fung's slide up that says, type 2 diabetes is a reversible dietary disease. Such a contrast, the ADA's official stance. And then I get a letter in the mail. I meant to bring it in today so I could read it. But one of those form letters from the ADA sent to me personally at my home. Ben Edwards, thank you for being such a great friend to the American Diabetes Association, yada, 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 give us some money. As you know, type 2 diabetes is a chronic progressive disease. I'm so tempted to write them a letter back saying, I'm not going to donate any money, but I will donate you some knowledge. And the knowledge is, and send them Dr. Fung's book or a copy of our interview or something. I mean, it's just it's sad that it is a chronic progressive disease if you choose for it to be. If you choose to treat the smoke instead of the fire.
Yeah.
Dr. Fung's analogy that I love, and I use it all the time, is a gangrenous wound. If you have a gangrenous wound that's infected and pussy and it's causing a fever, of 102, you can go to the medicine cabinet, get some Tylenol and Motrin every 2 hours, you know, alternate those and get that fever down to 98.6. And just keep taking your Tylenol and Motrin forever and keeping that fever at 98.6. If 98.6, if your temperature is your judge of success on treating gangrene, then yeah, you're doing great. But obviously we all know that you can't treat gangrene with Tylenol. The infection's eventually going to overwhelm you and kill you. It's the same with type 2 diabetes. If you just chase blood sugars all day long with pills and insulin shots, then it is going to kill you. It's going to be a chronic progressive disease because the high blood sugar is just the temperature. It's the smoke. It's the alarm bells, the check engine light on your dashboard going off. The root cause, just like for that temperature, the root cause is gangrene. The root cause of a high blood sugar is insulin resistance. And that's why we need to treat the insulin resistance to cure the patient. And pills and insulin shots don't treat insulin resistance. In fact, they make it worse. And that's what Dr. Fung lays out clearly. And the science backs it up, and it's proven. And actually, there was a doctor at Mayo Clinic a couple years ago that asked the question, if we just chase blood sugars with pills and insulin shots and keep your blood sugars down, will that decrease the risk of long-term complications? Which diabetics have complications with their feet because the little blood vessels that feed the feet don't work, so they get numb, and neuropathy is what we call it. The circulation's not good. They end up amputating toes and feet and whole legs. They have problems with their kidneys. You get on dialysis. They have problems with the eyes. They go blind. So diabetics have tons of complications. So he asked the question, the doctor at Mayo Clinic, if you control blood sugars, will it reduce complications? And the answer was no, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And again, same with gangrene. Will you reduce the risk of death from gangrene if you treat with Tylenol and Motrin? Of course not. No one's even going to do that study because it's so obvious. Well, it's as obvious if you know the human body a little deeper. It's just as obvious with type 2 diabetes. The problem's insulin resistance, not high blood sugar. High blood sugar is a consequence. It's a result of the insulin resistant, just like the temperature is a result or consequence of the gangrene. But you treat the insulin resistance. The way you do it is exactly what you're doing on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays. You do it with intermittent fasting. You do it by dropping your insulin spike because it's actually the chronic insulin spikes all day long that drives the insulin resistance. Too much insulin actually causes insulin resistance. So when we start we start our day with a bowl of skim milk and Special K cereal and OJ and whole wheat toast. Well, you just spiked your sugar and therefore your insulin through the roof, and we do that all day long with all this carb.
Let's go to the phones. Good morning. Welcome into the show. Hello. Oh, I guess we might. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I got a call from your number, and I don't know who you are, guys are.
We are live on the radio. Do you have a healthcare related question?
Well, we had another one on there a while ago. I apologize for that. If you want to call back, I'm sorry. 745-5800. They're kind of backed up there. But you can call back. I'll take your call. I think I had one, and somebody hung up, and then this guy called us back. But anyway, well, he's looking for Jim Stewart.
Okay.
Excuse me.
I found the study. Anyway, Dr. Victor Montori, the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, is the one who asked that question back in September of 2016. The article is actually in the journal Circulation. It's called Cardiovascular Quality and Outcomes.
Right.
And this was 2016, October. Oh, excuse me, August 23rd, 2016. So right. You know, whoever's the data or the guru on looking up stuff, then go look that up.
Let's go back out the phones. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, Wade, I'm amazed. How in the world do you perform your duties for 3 days without eating? Don't you run out of steam, out of gas? Don't you just start getting running out where you just can't go?
No. Not really.
It's because he's got a whole lot of food in his pantry, in his internal pantry. What he's doing when he's fasting, it flips a switch. It's kind of like on a vehicle. If you had a vehicle that had a gas tank and then a diesel tank, and you had a switch on your dashboard, you could just flip it, and it'd start burning the other fuel. Well, our mitochondria, which is our carburetor in our body, can run off sugar or it can run off fat. So what Wade does on Monday is he flips a switch. He doesn't burn sugar and carb anymore, and he turns on his fat-burning switch, and the body starts converting his own fat to fuel. So you can just cruise right along on nothing but your own fat.
And I actually feel very good. Actually, I I've noticed this too, where when I'm fasting, I actually feel better than when I'm eating.
Yeah.
But I know you have to eat or you'll die. I mean, I get that. Yeah. But on my fast days, initially the first time or two I did it, I thought, man, headaches, and I didn't feel so good or whatever. But then after a while, as your body kind of adjusts to that, now I feel better when I don't eat as opposed to when I do eat, if that makes
sense.
That
is amazing.
And part of the reason he feels so good is because when you're burning fat for fuel, you're burning at 140 miles a gallon. You're making 140 ATPs. That's your energy molecule. When you burn sugar for fuel, you're only burning at 32 miles a gallon, or you're only making 32 molecules of ATP, your energy molecule. So he's burning at a higher rate of energy and efficiency, but also the exhaust. When you burn something for energy, you're going to make exhaust, just like in your car. Well, the exhaust that you make when you burn sugar and carb for fuel at 32 miles a gallon is a dirtier exhaust than when you burn fat for fuel. When you run at 140 miles a gallon and burn fat for fuel, the exhaust is much cleaner. So those two things cause you to feel better. Plus, you're just detoxing your bad stuff out when you're fasting.
Yeah, I detox the fatty liver and
stem cell.
All of it. Your brain.
Stem cell production goes up. Neurofunction goes up. All kinds of quality good stuff. And all cultures except
HGH goes up.
Human growth hormone, testosterone, and everyone's always fasted throughout mankind's history. All that goes up. Yeah.
Wow.
And everyone's always fasted throughout history except American, the standard American in the past 100 years. We quit doing it.
Food.
Yeah, it's everywhere. It's on every corner. We have 24/7 access to food.
And partly also, doctor, the fact that the standard American diet's terrible, but for dieters, a lot of these weight loss programs, whether it's Weight Watchers or whatever, they always try to go, because that's been around for decades, eat six small meals a day.
Yeah.
Well, all you're doing is spiking your insulin six times a day.
Exactly.
That's really not a good way to go. Even if it was just protein, you still get an insulin spike.
Yep.
And that's a problem, too, for a lot of people. They think, well, I do, I eat a handful of nuts, or I do this, or I eat, I have these little midday snacks, and I think I'm doing the right thing, but the reality of it is you're not doing the right thing.
Right. Well, that all goes back from the mindset of calories in, calories out. We think we gain weight by eating too many calories in and not burning enough out, which that science has been proven to not be true, and here's why. Because, say you're burning at 1,500 calories, because what they're trying to do with six meals a day is keep your metabolism up and running. Well, it just doesn't work, and here's why. When you're going, say, let's just say, for instance, your metabolism, metabolic rate's burning 1,500 calories a day, and then so you decide, well, I want to lose weight, so I'm only going to eat at 1,300 calories a day. And so you do that for a time, and you'll lose weight initially the first month or two, but then the body, because of calorie restriction, and that's the difference, calorie restriction, all these small meals a day, and they add up to fewer calories, we're just going to continue eating all the time, but it's less calories. The body sees that and goes, uh-oh, we need to shut our metabolism down even more. So instead of going at 1,500 calories a day of burning your metabolic rate, it'll shut it down to 1,000 calories a day. So now that 1,300 calories you restricted down to doesn't work anymore, and you got to restrict down to 900. Well, then the body's going to go to 800, and then you got to go to 700.
Yeah.
And restriction doesn't work.
But doesn't that happen when you're fasting and you go into starvation?
No, it doesn't. And the reason it doesn't, if you can get beyond 18 hours, the body doesn't see it that way. It sees it as a fast. If you just do calorie restriction, but you never have more than a 4 to 6 to 8 hour window with not having food, the body never has a chance to flip the switch to fat burn because you're always feeding it something. It doesn't have to flip the switch because it has a constant external fuel supply. So that's the key, is you've got to extend those number of hours. Even if you want to calorie restrict, that's okay, I guess, but you've got to have an absence of food for more than 18 hours to kick that switch over. So that's really what we're trying to do, is in your mitochondria, your internal carburetor inside every cell of your body, you've got 200 of these carburetors, and you've got 100 trillion cells, so that's a lot of carburetors. But they won't flip the switch to fat burn mode until it doesn't see food for many hours. 18 hours is kind of the key, but the many of these health benefits we rattled off earlier really happen after the 3-day mark.
Okay, I was diagnosed a while back as a borderline diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, to me,
I'm sorry
to interrupt you. I was just going to say, to me, and with all due respect to your physician, I don't think there is borderline diabetes. It's kind of like pregnant or not pregnant. There's no borderline pregnancy.
I may work from 120 to 130.
Yeah, well, in my book, you're either diabetic or you're not. You can either handle your sugar / carbs or you can't, one or another, because insulin resistance is really what we're talking about here, this pre-diabetes or diabetes. It's all the same thing. It's insulin resistance. Your body is not responding to your insulin hormone. You know, it's a spectrum. It can not respond a little bit or a medium amount or a whole lot not respond. And depending on the varying levels of its non-response to insulin, your blood sugar will be higher and higher and higher. But the point is, you're showing signs of insulin resistance. That would be like showing signs of gangrene. I've got a little bit of pus coming out of my leg with just a little bit of fever, 99.6. Well, we don't want to wait for it to be a raging gangrenous wound.
That's fine.
Yeah, so insulin resistance is what you need to key in on it, or research or Google it or whatever. Read Dr. Fung's book or listen to the interview. It's on our website. It was back earlier this year, or it's on iTunes also. But Dr. Jason Fung, F-U-N-G, and he's on YouTube. I've interviewed him. His book's great. But just get a hold of his information or listen to more of these shows. We talk about quite a bit. Dr. Justin Anderson's on also during the week.
On Tuesday, yeah.
Tuesdays.
Tomorrow.
And he's got a great program. I think it's like $40 or something. Very reasonable. And he coaches you through all this. And it's intense. He's going to put you on a real, real low carb. But it will reverse insulin resistance, no doubt.
Can I tell you what I'm doing?
Sure.
What they've helped me out with. I eat protein foods, and I go on I eat just vegetables.
Okay. Well,
I've cut out everything else. I drink water. I eat vegetables and protein foods.
Okay. That is definitely...
You're talking about, would that fast be good for me too, like Wade does for that 3-day thing?
Absolutely. But you may want to start on just doing 18-hour, which is basically skip breakfast. You know, from supper till lunch is roughly 18 hours.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've got to break into it.
Yeah, so do that a couple of times in a
week. Yeah, I wouldn't recommend anybody jump out there and do 3 days like me. I mean, you could possibly do that, but you know, that first 24 is the roughest. The last 48 is easy.
Right. So I usually recommend to my patients do a couple of 18 hours within a week's time. Try it a couple times and see how you do. And then if you're feeling decent, try a 24-hour one. And then move into the longer ones, 48 and longer. But what I was going to tell you on what you're eating, that's definitely better than a high-carb diet, which is what most Americans eat, lots of cereals and breads and grains and crackers and chips and pasta.
Oh, yeah, cut that out. Yeah.
The one caveat, when I have patients come in and say I'm eating protein and vegetables, I'll have them draw a paper plate on a piece of paper and say, show me how much of this plate on your plate is veggie versus protein. And if most of it's protein, we have to be careful because the body will change and convert protein into sugar. Some people do this more than others. Some people, it's just because they're eating humongous amounts of protein. So just be careful with that. Just keep that in the back of your mind if you're not getting the results you expect. And you may very well, just with intermittent fasting and the exact diet you're doing right now, may be just fine for you. But if you seem to plateau or stall out, start reducing the protein a little bit, but replace it with fat. And that's going to sound crazy. Healthy
avocados.
Fat. Avocados. Healthy fatty nuts like walnuts and pecans, full fat dairy, full fat sour cream, full fat cheese, full fat milk, meaning whole milk, avocado oil, coconut oil, real butter. So the right kind of fats, not soy oil, canola oil, margarine, Crisco, not those. You want the right fats. So, and I think Dr. Fung may even address the fats in his book, but definitely you're on the right path. So keep up the good work.
Thank you. I'm going to use that. I'll check back here and see how good I'm doing with it. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, we'd love to hear.
All right. Thanks for the call. If you have a question along the way, 745-5800, 806-745-5800.
Well, I can't help but comment on, I just got the very end of the show before mine. You're talking healthcare dollars and government
Medicare
insurance.
Medicare Advantage plans.
Medicare Advantage, all that kind of stuff. because what I was going to talk about is some mitochondria, which we kind of got into with that caller. But I've got to just throw this in there because people are so myopic in their vision. They're so narrow-minded, thinking, oh, well, this plan works good for me, you know, whether it be government or whatever. Bottom line, take this to the bank. None of these plans, whether you have a Cadillac plan through insurance through your company because your company's, you know, doing really well financially and they can still afford to pay you a good insurance plan, which most companies can't these days. But if you happen to be in a company that, you know, doing really well and they're still offering good health insurance, great. If you're in a government or a civil servant job where the insurance is decent, that's great too. But I can promise you none of it will last. And the reason it can't last is all these plans are designed for healthy people to pay into them, more healthy people paying in than sick people taking out. And we've tipped the scale in America. We've got more sick people. I've been quoting this study, 48% or 47% of kids have a chronic disease. I just heard this weekend 54% of kids have chronic disease. When you have more sick people needing services than you do healthy people paying in, it's not going to work. So we can keep taxing enough to into the government plan where there's so much money in there for all these sick people, but the taxes will be unbearable. At some point, it's going to cave, and we're already kind of seeing that.
We're already seeing the fact that diet and lifestyle, I mean, there is study after study after study,
yep,
conclusively proving beyond, yep, a shadow of a doubt,
yep,
that what we're eating is absolute garbage,
yep,
and leading to all kinds of problems, not, yep, just type 2 diabetes and those kinds, but cancer, all of it.
And you can't medicate your way out of it, as we just explained with diabetes, gangrene and diabetes, that analogy from Jason Fung. That's the truth. Get to the root cause and fix it. You don't need all these pills. In fact, in that study I just mentioned, the pills' long-term complications aren't reduced. That's why we're seeing all the dialysis. I mean, a diabetic, I don't remember the number, but how much a diabetic person will cost in their lifetime to a health insurance or Medicare or Medicaid, it's humongous. And so you can't medicate your way out of it. And that's the whole problem. We can't just throw money at medications, insulin shots, surgeries, stents.
What's going to happen, doctor? Do you think that the system itself, because of our diet and lifestyle, because the American diet is so inadequate and poor, do you think it's going to actually bankrupt the system?
Yes, it already is. I mean, the canaries in the coal mine are the private insurers. That's why everyone's pulling out of Obamacare exchanges. Premiums are going up every year. My Blue Cross Blue Shield went up, and I never use it. I'm healthy. Every year, those prices go up. Your deductibles go higher, and services are cut. I think I told this story on the radio the other day. I had to do a prior authorization for a patient who was seeing a midwife, and her insurance only approved 6 visits. Even though I told them, this is a 9-month pregnancy, and it's going to require X number of visits. Well, this is how many we approve. So that, my point is, services get cut. If someone needs 12 weeks of physical therapy, they may only pay for 6 weeks or whatever. But we're already seeing it right now. Costs are going up. Services are being cut. That's going to continue. Why is it doing it? Because you can't afford to medicate or operate yourself out of something you ate yourself into. If you're going to just treat temperature all day long, gangrene's going to get you.
And try to take 1/6 of the total U.S. economy. Now, think about this. We're talking trillions of dollars. Yep. Trillions with a T.
Yep.
And say, oh, well, let's do the Bernie Sanders plan, which is Medicare for all, or all, or single payer. Well, that's still, again, not addressing the problem. It's going to bankrupt this country, mm-hmm, all the while, and how it's going to get bankrupt is what we're eating.
Yep.
What we're doing to our own bodies, and we just don't, you know, either out of ignorance or just, I don't know. But I will tell you, I mean, I'm very fortunate, I'll be honest with you. I'm very fortunate for the fact that over 20 years, you know, I've sat in this control room with the top physicians in the world that talk about this kind of stuff. And so I've been fortunate to know and learn the truth. But the vast majority of Americans are not being told the truth.
Yep. I know, we're all,
and that's a problem.
We're all quite confused, deceived, or just
ignorant. Starting to catch on. I mean, if, yeah, you look at it anecdotally across the United States, you're starting to see some people and other physicians, MDs such as yourself,
yeah,
that are turning towards more of a functional medicine practice,
right,
saying, okay, what I was doing, like you, exactly like you, what I was doing in the past my patients weren't getting any better. As a matter of fact, they were getting worse.
Yep.
And I want to be a person. Because you went into the business. You went into to become a medical doctor to what?
Help people.
Yeah. And you weren't helping anybody when you continually had your patients come back getting sicker and sicker and sicker, and you said there's got to be something better.
Right. But again, it's I was focused on the wrong thing. Yeah, my diabetics, their blood sugar would come down if I put them on metformin, but the next year I'd have to increase the dose, and the next year increase the dose, and the next year add another pill, and then eventually 7 years down the road, it's time for insulin. It's a chronic progressive disease. I was controlling the blood sugar to a degree, but they just kept getting worse, and that's just what happens with diabetes when you're just treating the temperature, not the gangrene.
All right, text coming in says, what about fasting while on the root cause protocol? Is it okay to take all those supplements on an empty stomach? Will it make you nauseated? Let me throw this first, and then I'll go to you, Dr. Edwards. But I read something about what Dr. Fung said about that. And he said some people will get nauseated. And he said, personally, I don't recommend you taking a bunch of vitamins and things like that while you fast. Now, that's him. Yep. What do you say?
When I'm fasting, I just like my stomach to be empty. So I personally, just out of personal preference, I'll do some salt and water, kind of like the adrenal cocktail for this person who's on the root cause protocol. I want to keep my minerals going, so I'll do salt and water. I might do an Epsom salt bath. I might do the magnesium lotion, but not the whole thing. Now, it doesn't mean I don't think it'll interrupt the fast. If you're taking your whole food vitamin C, you're taking your, the cod liver oil shouldn't do it. There's nothing in there that should spike your insulin. So theoretically, yeah, it's fine to do it. You should still get all the benefits of the fast. Whether it's going to make you nauseated, I don't know. You kind of have to just try it and see. But I just personally, part of the reason I would fast is just to clear my mind and even from a spiritual standpoint. So I just want it to be simple. And so I just do a little salt and water myself.
Dr. Justin Anderson texting in saying, I take all the supplements on an empty stomach all the time. Works fine for him.
Okay,
But some can't. I do the adrenal. I will say this. I do the adrenal cocktail, and I have my wife make it because I don't know how to make it. But, it's pretty simple. It's like coconut and some Himalayan salt and whatever. And she mixes this little concoction up, and it's like maybe 2 or 3 ounces of stuff.
Right.
No big deal.
Yep.
But the last couple of weeks, I would take that once a day throughout, and I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect me that I can see.
Right.
My only concern was any of this kind of stuff like Dr. Fung was talking about was – well, I didn't want to take something because some supplements can be, I'm not big on the bone broth. I know some people can do that.
Right.
But I'm always afraid about breaking fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want that, number one. Or number two, I don't want to take something, to Dr. Anderson's point, I don't want to take something and feel nauseated on it.
Right.
Because there's nothing more miserable than when you're fasting and then you're nauseated too.
And I want to just reiterate to the lady gentleman that texted in, that root cause protocol, you need to understand it's a long-term way to get your copper up, get your mag up, and move iron out of you.
Right.
So this is a long-term kind of lifestyle thing. Don't look at it as kind of a doctor giving me some advice. I'm going to do it for X number of weeks, and it's going to fix this one certain problem that I have, medical problem. That view, if you have that view at all, I encourage you to not. So the point is taking a few days off from copper, magnesium, and getting your iron out, that's no big deal. That's fine. And there's so many great health benefits of fasting that don't stress out about skipping supplements for a day or two.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't know.
Because really the root cause protocol supplements are just there because these things are missing in our food. No one's eating food rich in copper. No one's eating organ meats. We don't get enough mag. We're all stressed out, so we lose more mag. And the minerals are just depleted in our food in general. So think of root cause protocol as food, basically, is what I try to get my
patients thinking. Yeah, that's a good
point. So if you're fasting from food, you can fast from those too because it's really just supplemental to what's lacking in your food.
Well, that's good text there from Health Coach and Dr. Anderson. Well, all right, quick break. We'll come right back. Stick around. We got more to go. Welcome back into You're the Cure right here on AM 580 with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. course, along the way, phone lines will be open at all times. 806-745-5800. That's 806-745-5800. If you have a text along the way, feel free to give us a text as well. We'll answer those here on the show today. And again, check out the website, VeritasMedical.com. All right, right back at it. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, here on the show. Yeah, good. Getting ready for all that Thanksgiving carbs. I can't wait. I'm just kidding. I'm going to try to watch that, because I'll tell you another thing that I was going to say before we get back into it is that when I load up on a bunch of carbs now, and I'm talking, you know, a ton, like if I'm eating a lot of pasta or if I go real heavy after a three-day fast, I actually feel sick.
Yeah.
And I find that kind of interesting, is that, you know, I can tolerate some.
Right.
But if I go really heavy with it, I don't feel good. And I find that kind of interesting, actually.
Yeah, well, we just slowly, over our years from, you know, birth till adulthood, we slowly just more and more carb, 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 and we kind of work up to this, we're able to just handle this huge carb load. So then when you start to actually take charge of your health and not just be a part of the sick care system, and you make the connection between high carb, especially American carbs, processed carbs, sugars, and health or disease, then you start to wean off, and your body starts to recalibrate, and you get back down to what I'd call normal, and you try to go back to that standard American stuff that you slowly over your whole life had gradually built up, you can't. I mean, you just feel awful. I used to do that. You know, I'd have a bite of a cupcake at a birthday party because I don't eat that many carbs ever. I used to could eat 3 or 4 cupcakes easy at a birthday party. A bite of one now just doesn't even taste right. And so I just avoid it too. But again, it's this processed American, hybridized, sugar-laden everything. So our food supply has just been so altered that it's hard to handle it when you're getting healthy. I wanted to point out, during the break, I looked up this study. It just highlights so much of what I'm trying to point out when, again, talking about our healthcare dollars. When I first started learning integrative medicine, and an integrative doctor told me, heartburn, it's not from too much stomach acid, it's from too little. And I just totally laughed at him, just like I laughed at him when he says, oh, type 2 diabetes, that's not a disease, it's a consequence, it's reversible. I laughed at him then, too. I mean, I thought this guy was crazy. But then he actually showed me the evidence. and then I saw my own patients actually walk it out and reverse these things. But when he told me too little stomach acid causes a valve between the esophagus and the stomach to be loose and floppy and open up, and that allows the stomach acid up into the esophagus and causes the heartburn. But it all started with not enough stomach acid. You have to have a very acidic pH to trigger that valve to squeeze shut. And Jonathan Wright wrote a great book about this subject matter, and this doctor gave it to me to read. It's called Why Stomach Acid is Good for You. I mean, this book's probably 20 years old. But anyways, went through all that, discovered, yeah, that is true. This whole theory that heartburn's from too much stomach acid is the theory's not right. The theory that too low of stomach acid causes heartburn makes a whole lot more sense once you start actually studying the physiology. So anyways, in my experience over the past 5 years, I'd say 98% of patients with reflux that come to see us no longer suffer from reflux after a couple of months of changing their diet and lifestyle, primarily bringing the carbs and sugars down. Well, this study, top 10 money-making drugs of 2012, number one on the list, Nexium. $5.6 billion with a B in 2012 alone, in America alone. So one drug, a country, 1 year, $5.6 billion with a B.
Doctor and pharmacist recommended.
Yeah, the commercial says your doctors, if you know, use this himself. So
that's right.
It says for the doctor.
It's good enough for the doctor. It'll work for me. Doctor, pharmacist recommended. I just saw that ad literally probably 2 days ago.
Yeah.
On Fox News.
So $5.6 billion. If 98% of my patients don't require heartburn medication anymore because of the diet and lifestyle fix that they employed in their life, that's 5.48 of that $5.6 billion would not be going to AstraZeneca. That's just one drug and one quote-unquote disease. across the board. I mean, diabetes, drugs, and all the complications from diabetes, all the surgeries, all the things you have to do in a diabetic patient, that $5.6 billion would seem like nothing compared to what you're going to spend on a diabetic.
Yeah, because I know you're Toshiba ready.
Right. All these commercials. Oh, they drive me nuts. But again, going back to the healthcare thing and afford your insurance and Medicare and Medicaid and all these things and a civil servant job, you have better insurance, blah, blah, blah. You cannot continue to spend $5.6 billion a year on Nexium instead of fixing it and saving $5.48 billion by fixing the reflux. You just can't do it. There's no economical way to sustain this. And beyond economics, just the health outcomes that we're tracking, which, again, I think you mentioned at the top of the show, when you track all these health outcomes, America's the worst. And that's what a lot of Americans don't realize that are on their good civil servant job and getting a good government insurance is you are in a system that produces the worst health outcomes in all of the industrialized world.
That's
your
amazing.
Life expectancy is going to be shorter. You're going to suffer more while you are alive. You're going to have more diseases. You're going to go to the doctor more. You're going to take more prescription drugs. You're going to have more procedures done on you. That's what the studies show. America and our healthcare system, we do the most stuff, spend the most money, live the sickest life, and die the youngest. But my copay paid for it. Well, no, thank you. I'll take up my own responsibility for my health, and I will live longer, better, healthier. My health span. I actually don't believe we doctors can affect lifespan. I know that's controversial. Some people might not agree with me, but I believe that's set by our Creator. Your lifespan, your day, all our days are numbered. But health span, that's what we really need to start focusing on. How many years can you walk around healthy? Not with an ache and a pain, not with a memory loss or a brain fog or dementia. How long can you go in this body and do all the physical and mental things that you want to be able to do? That really needs to be pushed out to match our lifespan. We should be active mentally and physically till the day we die. Unfortunately, the average American health span is about 25 years now. We start getting sick at 25, 30 years old, an ache or a pain or a heartburn or our blood sugar, blood pressure starting to creep up. And it's just a slow, steady decline from age 30 on to the grave. And it doesn't need to be that way, even though your insurance copay will pay for that, will assist you along the way. That slow, steady decline, your insurance will assist you that whole time. Well, there happens to be a whole other system out there where you take responsibility for your own health, you get educated, you listen to programs like us, you hear this thing about Dr. Jason Fung reverses diabetes by treating the root cause of insulin resistance, and you go get his book and you read it. So you take responsibility for your own health, and then you check out a clinic like ours, and you see, oh, they don't take insurance. They're cash only. It's $85 a month. I can't afford it. Well, you got to change your mindset. What's your health worth to you? And then you go to your boss at work and say, hey, how much is my health insurance costing you, boss man? And if he says $500 a month or $400 or $250 or any whatever, ask him, will you take me off that and put me on a Veritas and a health, like a Liberty Direct, which we'll talk about in a minute. But there's other plans out there that are more affordable, get to the root cause, and support clinics like mine that get to the root cause.
Good morning. Welcome into the show.
Yeah, thank you. Dr. Gray, I'm calling back again, but I listened to a program about a year ago. It was called a documentary channel called Food Incorporated.
Mm-hmm. Food Inc.
Food, yeah. And in that, they named about five big corporations that controlled our food in,
yep,
in the United States.
Yes, sir.
I think it was Cargill, Monsanto, Swift, oh, and somebody else. I forget the others. But are you familiar with that, and do you think that is true? Or?
Yes, I'm familiar with that movie, and I don't only think it's true. I know it's true. I mean, there are these big industrialized corporations that control the food supply. That's just the bottom line. When you go into a grocery store, you're buying from those companies. When you go to the farmer's market, you're not. So that's why I prefer farmer's markets.
Oh, okay.
Because
eat local. as much as you can.
A local,
that's the point, right?
Yeah, a local farmer is more concerned about the nutrient density of that food, plus it's vine ripe, and most of the nutrients get dumped into that vegetable or berry or whatever in the last day or two before it's ripe enough to fall off the vine. But a local farmer is more concerned about the health of the soil, the soils where the nutrients come from, as opposed to mass production of food where you're only concerned about profits. So, you know, there's two different goals in mind with the local farmer. The farmer's market, more concerned about the quality of the food.
Well, what are the local markets around here? I'm not familiar with that.
Right now they're closed. The downtown farmer's market is one, and then West End over by the new like Costco and all those shops, they have one. But someone told me just Friday night that there was one out by Friendship High School, and I know Juicy Lucy. I think she just has a Facebook page. I don't know that she has a website. But she's one of these local farmers market gals, and she gathers up produce from various farmers around, puts it on her food truck, and she'll sell it out of the truck. So it's kind of a mobile farmers
market.
Yeah,
I've heard of that.
And it's in our parking lot at our clinic every Tuesday afternoon from 3 o'clock till 6 o'clock. So you could come tomorrow, 3 o'clock at our clinic to the parking lot, and you'll see the big yellow truck, Juicy Lucy, and go talk to her. She's a great resource for all the local farmers and farmers markets.
And that's at 50th and MLK.
Yep.
This is an email. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, a couple of texts here. Of course, the health coach texting in saying, health coach being my wife. She says, Morley has a quote, there's no money in dead people, there's no money in healthy people, but there is money in sick people. Well, that's very true.
Hard to deny that.
Butch asking, doctor, what do you think about Biot yam extract hormones? I guess that, no, bio, or bio-T yam extract hormones, maybe?
Yeah.
Do you know what he's talking about?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, what about that?
These are natural bioidentical hormones, so bioidentical just means they're the exact same hormone as what God originally put into you. Most people don't realize a lot of these hormones that people have taken over the years are synthetics, meaning man made them. And you can't patent something naturally occurring. So say testosterone, for instance, or estrogen. Let's do estrogen. The exact hormone estrogen that God made. And hormones, think of them as keys in a keyhole. The hormone is the key. So they have a certain cut or a certain shape to them because they have to fit their keyhole just perfectly. So the natural one that God gave us has a certain shape. Well, the bioidentical ones that come from yams have the same shape. So that's why they're called bioidentical. They're the exact same. Where a synthetic one or one from a different species, like Premarin, was estrogen from a horse, that has a little bit of different cut to it. The shape of that key is just a little different. So it fits enough of the keyhole estrogen keyhole in the human to relieve hot flashes and other symptoms. But the imperfect fit of that key into the keyhole, because it's horse estrogen, is what drove all the side effects, the increased risk of heart attack and breast cancer and blood clots and stuff like that. So bioidentical hormones are great, but that's an integrative technique to treat symptoms, and we do it at our clinic. But what I'm learning and encouraging my patients to do is go even deeper than integrative and ask the question, why is my own testosterone not being made, or why is my own estrogen not being made? Can we do something that will allow our body to produce our own? And it turns out a lot of times we can, but it has to do with minerals. You've got to have the right minerals that run the enzymes that create your hormones. Hormones just don't come out of nowhere. Nothing in the body comes out of nowhere. You've got raw materials, but then you've got to have workers to assemble the raw materials into a final product. The workers are called enzymes, and there's over 9,000 enzymes in the body that do this work, but the enzymes need to be turned on by a key, and the key is minerals. A lot of times it's magnesium and copper. And I encourage y'all to go back and listen to Morley Robbins and I's conversation over the past probably 9 shows, and it talks about that whole thing. So it's a deeper foundational layer of get your minerals right, and you can turn on your own testosterone production factory and estrogen and progesterone. But some people can't do that, don't want to do that. They want to stay in the integrative world of taking bioidentical hormones, and that's fine. Definitely better than synthetics.
Yeah, that's. But if you can get your own body to come back, because the body, like the whole show is called You're the Cure, Your Body is the Cure. Mm-hmm. If you can get your body to switch back to the way it was designed by God to be done.
Yep.
That's the key.
And we mentioned it in the fasting when we were rattling off all the benefits of it. You increase testosterone and growth hormone production by fasting. So we're so used to in America just taking a pill for something or taking a shot for something. Give me the quick fix and let me keep living my standard American life and diet. It's the standard American life and diet that made us sick. We've talked about it many times. 95% of cancer, diet and lifestyle. 85% of heart attack, diet and lifestyle. All this American disease, diet and lifestyle. The research is very clear on it. But we want to keep in our standard American diet and lifestyle and just take a quick fix. And we don't like the synthetics, so let's try a natural one. You know, natural's better, less side effect profile, but it's still not the very essence of the best. And the best is God's original design and His original intent. And that's what, at our clinic, we try to boil it into those four pillars of nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace. And it's a lack of peace that really jacks up these minerals. You will just burn through your magnesium when you don't have peace. So it really is diet and lifestyle. You can't just diet your way to health. Lifestyle, meaning the amount of stress you're under, is pretty much what lifestyle is talking about. You got to get up and move. You can't sit all day. You need to fast every now and then. That's a lifestyle choice. You need to, you know, get in the sunlight. Sunlight hitting your skin does amazing stuff. We're going to have an interview with Gerald Pollack soon. He talks about how the water in your cells becomes structured water when the sunlight hits it. So that's part of the lifestyle thing. But we've got to learn all this.
Yeah, I made sure on Friday especially, but even on Sunday, to get out when it was decent enough to, just to kind of sit out in a chair in the sun for 20, 30 minutes and just enjoy it. I can't say enough about how much better I feel by implementing these strategies because, you know, I was feeling pretty cruddy for a long time not really making any progress, going to the gym or working out all the time and not, you know, step forward, two steps back. And I thought, man, there's got to be something different.
That is part of the deception. You can just go to the gym and work out through a bad diet and lifestyle. And so much of what you've done, Wade, really, I'd put it in the lifestyle category. Yeah, fasting, you could kind of think of it as a dietary thing, but really that's a lifestyle thing. Because even people that eat a little more garbage, I would say, on the days they're eating, when they fast, they still get great benefits. Now, I'm not endorsing a garbage diet and standard American diet, but I'm just saying just that one technique can be so beneficial. Getting the sunlight, de-stressing, so it's huge. You cannot forget the lifestyle portion of it.
Oh, my stress levels have plummeted. I'm not stressed anymore. I don't worry about. I mean, prior to that, I was always. I even showed signs of when your gut bacteria gets all out of whack and was showing signs of anxiety and stuff. But that's all cleaned up. I mean, I don't have anxiety anymore. Yep. I'm not on any medications. Yep. The VA was real quick, though, to say, well, look, if you need some Xanax or Klonopin, you know, we can do that.
Again, because that's what we're trained to do. That's what the government health insurance is trained to do. Not only the government health insurance, private insurance. I mean, doctors are trained to do that very thing. And there's no time. That's the other thing in that system is seven-minute visits. There's no time to explain to a patient about fasting and all this stuff that's beneficial on how to get to the root cause of diabetes. There's no time. So there's just this whole other system that's quick visits, throw a pill at it, and you're going to be the sickest and die the youngest. And I think it's a good time to mention the longevity plan. I've quoted it a few times, but Dr. Day recently published this book. And he went to China, this village where they live to be 105, 110, 112. They're the most centurions of any village in the world. But they were healthy. They weren't 112 and drooling on themselves in the nursing home. They're out in the rice fields working and enjoying it. They're in the garden picking the vegetables and enjoying it. They were still able to ambulate and think clearly. But his point was he drew their blood. He saw the genetics were there for the genes that increase your risk of Alzheimer's and of heart disease and of stroke and of dementia, diabetes, all the different things, cancer. They had the genes, but they didn't have these diseases. And it's because of the diet and lifestyle. Your diet and lifestyle, when it's bad, will turn on those bad genes. When it's good, it'll keep them turned off. That's in a nutshell, that's his book. And that's what all the research shows. That's why I can quote these studies that show diet and lifestyle is 95% of cancer is caused by diet and lifestyle. It's not genes. So it's a huge deal. And as far as, you know, the whole health insurance, I think we can probably end it on this because the end of last show y'all were talking about it. That system will continue to fail. It will continue to cost more, and you'll get less services provided. Even if you get a civil servant's job where it has a great plan, that plan will be, over time, will be unaffordable. The U.S. taxpayer can't afford it. Doctors, there'll be a doctor shortage, because the other thing you have to do is not pay doctors as much when you're going bankrupt. So government hospitals and clinics don't pay doctors as much. There's a doctor shortage there. There's a doctor shortage across the board. It's going to just escalate in the coming 10 to 15 years. Doctors under tremendous stress. They're getting paid less. They're asked to do more, and the patients are sicker and sicker. I mean, when I was down in Garza County doing regular doctoring, I was cranking through them. We're in the top 9th percentile of all clinics in America, but no one's getting better. So my satisfaction score was very, very low. So I was young then. I could crank through 40 patients a day and get the paycheck and make things work because I was young, motivated, and all that. But, man, when your satisfaction quotient is down in the tank, you're not going to keep doing that. And that's what the studies show. Most doctors are looking to retire early, and they're encouraging their kids not to go into medicine because there's no satisfaction in the job anymore. Well, there's this whole other system. I want to encourage doctors. There's a system out there where you can actually enjoy your patients again, help them get well, and not just manage disease, but help them reverse disease. You can educate, which that's the root Latin root of physician is teacher. And then there's a whole other healthcare system out there. It's called Christian Healthshare Ministries. Much more affordable. You pay into the system, and when you need it, they pay for your broken bones. They pay for your surgeries. They pay for whatever you need. But it just works better when you get to the root cause of the problem. And then you can afford like a Liberty Health Share. They cut my health insurance in half, and they pay for half of our clinic membership too. So there is this other system. We're supporting it out at Veritas, so get on our website and learn more about it. We'd be happy to see you too.
Again, Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, we appreciate it, sir. You have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we'll see you back here next Monday after Thanksgiving on You're the Cure. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com, and have a wonderful rest of the week, sir.
Thank you, sir.
And happy Thanksgiving to you.
You too.
All right.
Yours.
Good stuff today. Stick around now. Unconfused coming up next right here on AM 580.